everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John. John, we are off and running here as we transition from July into August already. The Buckmaster Show on the 29th of July, 2024. So we're now 13 and a half plus years into the radio project. Coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the growing presence of Bustos Media here in town. Five radio stations under one roof. The latest acquisition, a very popular station, 101.7 The Drive. But this one's KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local live news and talk on the radio. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to the program on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, I want to point you in the direction of buckmastershow.com. We have pretty much every show that we have done since January, the first week in January of 2011. It's a real easy website to use. So a lot of archive material there. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, it's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. They've got beautiful photography. Moe's a great photographer. They sell his work at the gallery. And, of course, they do the wonderful picture framing. And if you don't want to hang it yourself, how about Moe making a house call? He does that. It goes up then exactly where you want it. And it goes up the right way. He's got all the tools to make sure, you know, it's perfectly level and everything like that. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen, and Monsoon Chocolate has opened up a shop over there too. Their website, moesgallery.com. Our Monday one-on-one guest returning to our program, it's been too long, Dustin Williams, longtime Tucsonan, lifelong actually, and former elementary math school math teacher at Mansfield Middle School in Tucson. His passion for public education energized him to take the next step in his life, which was being elected to Pima County's superintendent of schools, a role he has served in since 2016. He's running unopposed now for a third 4-year term. Hey, Dustin, how are you?
Fantastic. Glad to be on here. Glad to be with your listeners.
Well, you must be doing something right. You are unopposed. What's the secret sauce to this office? Why? Obviously, a lot of people think you're doing something right.
Well, it's two terms. This is my third term that I'm in. Right. Getting ready to go. We ran unopposed last year, or 2020. Doing it again in 2024. What we have noticed is that constituents of all political nature, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever you want to be, what they want to do is they don't want to talk about politics all the time. If you're going to just get to work, do the work, and then find the best idea of whatever you have and collaborate on that and bring something good to a school. And so we have an open door policy, and that seems to be what constituents really, really like, is to let the politicians at different areas get into the politics heavy. We have found that rather than doing that, we bring ideas to schools, we partner up with schools, and we partner up with business leaders in the community, and maybe open a professional development side of the house, maybe bring a scholarship opportunity, maybe bring a federal grant to Pima County that will employ people and make jobs and look at economic development, internships. That secret sauce has been one that I'm obviously blessed to and honored that the voters have chosen to say, hey, we just want Dustin Williams in there, and we want to move forward. So we're going to continue just doing that and just getting to work and working hard.
Talk a little bit about your portfolio. When I say your, you oversee 50 employees. What is the role of the Pima County Superintendent of Schools?
Yeah, so the superintendent's office, it's an elected office, kind of like your treasurer or your recorder or maybe your county attorney. We're in every county, which is 15 counties in the state of Arizona. We run every 4 years on the president's cycle, and we are open 365, and do a ton of work and a lot of partnerships.
We work. Are you with, saying every county in the state has a superintendent of schools?
Every county in the state of Arizona has a Dustin Williams in their county.
Okay.
So there's 15 of us, and we collaborate with all the schools, whether they're, you know, traditional public school, they could be charter schools, they could be private schools. We run the homeschool parts of the county for any family that wants to get into homeschooling their own child.
Really?
Yep. And we try to travel in basically three main areas.
Mm-hmm.
One is we're heavy into admin and finance. So we work together with the district schools, make sure they balance up with our office and also the county treasurer. We do all the bonds and all the overrides. So we're an election house as well. So if a school wants to do bond and override, like Continental, Marana, and Amphi right now, they're running bonds and overrides. We also do the elections for the elected governing board members of district schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really neat part for people to know, is because the governing board members are your authority of your district school.
Yeah, yeah.
So for instance, if we said Amphi district or TUSD district, the authority of those schools are the elected governing board members.
Yes.
And then you would work with the hired superintendent of those schools, which would be Dr. Trujillo or Todd Yeager at Amphi. So every even year, we'll have approximately 50 to 60. We had 60 candidates all go through our office. We filed 16,000 signatures approximately to make sure those were all verified. And then those are going to be on your general election.
Hmm.
So when you open up your ballot, there's a big important race, and that's going to be your governing board members. And this is where you live. And so
I didn't realize you guys run these elections then.
Yeah, it's a daunting task. That's part of the workforce.
For 18 school districts.
18 districts out there.
Yep. Okay.
So that part of the admin and the money and the bonds and the overrides is one part. The two other big parts that we do is we're huge professional development providers. So if you're a school and you're in need of a service, whether it's a leadership academy, whether it's to develop your special education department of your school, whether it's to look at your healthy and safe school or your resilient school model to look at social emotional trauma or whatever, you would come to us, and then we would figure out a partnership to help. And that is where we really start to move the needle, which is an education. How do we improve education? It's the professional development services for how you're supporting these schools and these teachers, which ultimately help the student. And so we have a very robust program there. We're always looking for partners there to come and get on board and see how they could interact with schools. And then lastly, one school is ours.
Yeah, you run a school district.
Yeah, yep. And you run it by the elected title. And the school's the Accommodation School District. It's the school that's located in the Juvenile Detention Center and the Adult Jail.
Wow.
And so we work with the demographic of individuals that are...
You're working with inmates.
Incarcerated individuals.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's their curriculum like?
It looks just like a school. So we have principals, special education directors, all of the math, reading, language, and arts, everything that is needed to fulfill the credits that you would get at a regular district school is the same type of priorities and responsibilities that we have at our school that are located at the Juvenile Detention Center and the Adult Jail.
Wow. So what are you hearing? You're obviously in contact all the time with the superintendents who run the 18 districts. What's kind of the feeling as we launch school here in the next couple of days?
There's a big feeling of excitement. I think what communities like is they kind of like to get back to the regular, normal grind of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in summer, there's a little bit of limbo phase and vacations and a bunch of downtime. But now with the parents getting ready to gear up to put the kids back in schools and everyone ready to start, which some have already started. So this is our 2 weeks right here where by August 15th, you'll have Pima County up and roaring 100%, like a train coming out of New York City, flying a million miles an hour. And there's just a feeling of excitement. I think everyone also thinks about what are some of the challenges, and a lot of that is to make sure that we keep the teachers that we have, and that we also can bring educators into our field and make sure that we have our classrooms fully stocked with those world champion individuals, which are our teachers.
All right, Dustin Williams, we continue our conversation with Dustin. Dustin is our Monday one-on-one interview this week. We'll be back with him after we take our first break. And I do want to point out that the Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Their website, moesgallery.com. The Buckmaster Show, off and running on the transition week as we transition into August this week. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I am ready for this monsoon to just take a pause. Wow. I mean, it has been one of the most violent It's gotten so it's almost every year now we have these really, really violent Julys. So I'm hoping they're showing like 20% chance, maybe for like a week or so. I will take it. We need a break right now. Anyway, that's the Buckmaster opinion. Today we're doing our Monday one-on-one. We do that. We start our Monday this way. We used to do the Monday political face-off, but I just didn't like the tone of where politics were going and didn't want to start my week with all that negativity. So we do the one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. This week's guest, Dustin Williams. He is the superintendent of schools for Pima County, and he was first elected in 2016. And now he is running unopposed for his third four-year term. Education really saved your life, didn't it, Dustin? You dropped out of the University of Arizona in your freshman year, and you admit that at one point you basically had become like a drifter.
You know, my life had a very interesting start post-secondary. I thought I had a vision for what I wanted to do going into college, and only to find out that, obviously still young, 18 years old, I had a really rough time. College did not suit me. It was overwhelming, and my habits, quite honestly, were not directed at the studies that they probably should have been. They're probably directed elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did. I went on a path of jack of trades, did all sorts of stuff.
You were like a part-time electrician. At one point, you sold cars for Jim Click.
That's right. Mr. Click hired me at Jim Click Nissan, and I got to meet him. Well, I actually met him when I was a server, and that's how I got hired at Jim Click Nissan. And then I got into... When I had left the University of Arizona back in 92, I became a real estate agent at the age of 19. I was the youngest real estate agent to be hired at Coldwell Banker.
Well, you had to have a license, right?
Oh, yeah.
You
got the license. Yeah, I went to school, took the license and the test that you got to take, and I started selling homes. And that, you know, I did that for a while. So the whole thing, I became a mortgage broker. I sold... I did live for a year and a half in San Francisco, and I sold futons at the futon shop.
Oh my goodness.
I tell you all this because, you know, the track and the path that you go on in life, you sometimes don't know, but there was one constant part of my life.
One thing you really loved, right?
And I was always coaching girls softball.
Okay.
So I had little sisters because my mom and dad had split up when I was younger, and my mom got remarried, and I had these amazing, beautiful sisters. And, you know, what does a brother do? Well, he puts them in Little League and you start your own softball
team. Sure.
And I did that for several years. That was the constant in my life. And I can remember I was selling mortgages back in 2002, and I was in the outfield during a practice, and it just kind of all clicked. I think I was about 24 years old or 20, somewhere around there, and I said, this is my passion. I said, this is what I know I love to do. And I went back to work the next day, and I said, I'm quitting.
Oh, you told them right then?
I told my boss. He said, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to go work with education. I'm going to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, thank God you spend more time with those kids on the field than you do hustling for loans. And
yeah. So you went back to college.
Yeah, went back, had to redo a bunch of credits that I totally bombed. But school then made sense. It made a lot of sense. And so the studies that I was acquiring to become an elementary teacher, I really loved. And I took time and understanding what it meant to get your pedagogy, which is your art of teaching. And I did really, really well. Went back
You fit right into the culture of teaching then.
Yeah.
Well, there's, I guess nobody walks right into the classroom. It's a learning process, right?
Just like it really is. I mean, you're just dealing with so many lives.
Sure.
But I had that sort of that personification of fun that kids loved, and we would challenge each other. I mean, I can remember how many games of soccer and basketball we would play at lunch, and that there would be a line to play with Mr. Williams on the court, and the principals and teachers would come out, and it was the time of my life. And then, you know, during being a teacher, I decided to take the next leap and go get my master's degree and become a become a principal, and I ended up working for a Native American prep school as a principal called Hoshin, where I was an assistant director.
Where was that?
That's actually located right by the University of Arizona Rec Center. I think that's 10th Street, something right there, about six blocks south of Mansfield. And I did that for a while, and then that's where I kind of started eyeing politics and became a precinct committee member and got involved and looked at the superintendent of schools. And I knew that there could be a partnership with our community that I just knew in my heart that I could provide. And I started going to legislative district meetings, and I started meeting everyone in the county. And lo and behold, in 2016, they said yes. And this county hasn't looked back, and they said they're going to say yes again for the third term. And again, I'm just so incredibly grateful to really just work for this community of amazing people in Pima County and the other stakeholders across the state.
All right, let's circle back to some of a couple of the issues you said right before our first break. You were talking about we've got to put enough teachers, qualified teachers in the classroom. Are we making progress, Dustin Williams?
If we are, it's very, very slow.
It's still a huge issue.
It is a massive challenge. And the art of teaching takes trust. And so if you don't have a steady teacher in that classroom, it makes it really, really difficult for kids to give you the trust to then allow them to be taught correctly. Teaching's two parts. There is the concept. I'm going to teach you the math because I know how to teach it well and I can teach fractions. But then there's the classroom management part, which is really the art of teaching, and you either have that or you don't, which is managing humans. And these humans come with a whole diverse set of challenges because they all have families. So you're dealing with moms and dads or guardians and grandparents and stuff. So that part is the challenge. And when we have a shortage of teachers just across the state, it really makes it a hard thing for districts and for schools to do what they want to do best, which is just provide these world-class educational scenarios and settings for our kids.
And your teachers in your 18 districts and your district that you have with the incarcerated, these must be certified teachers, correct?
That's right.
Unlike, I guess, charter schools.
That's right. Charters and private schools, it's okay. Not state mandated to have a teaching certificate.
I think that's an important point.
It is a very important part because you want to have the highest level of professionalism in your classroom as possible.
Yeah.
But the state statutes dictate it different. And so for districts, they must have a certified teacher. And for charters and privates, they do not. But a lot of charters and privates still do have certified teachers.
What are the numbers like generally for public education in Pima County? Is there the erosion continuing over to the charters?
That sort of has flattened out.
Okay.
So I'd say everything has gotten a little bit more equal.
Okay.
And, you know, the kids are staying at their district schools. Kids are staying at their charter schools. What we have started to see is an influx in students going to private schools or electing to be homeschooled. Not a statistic that is concerning yet, but it is something that is on the horizon because now the Arizona State Legislature has opened up what's called a universal voucher program.
Yes.
Which is a basic check to pay for kids to go to private school or a check to the parents to provide educational services at their house.
Yeah.
And that dollar amount starts at $7,000 per child.
Mm-hmm. But there is quite a bit of controversy about that program, and one of the areas is accountability.
Yeah, there's two parts, right? So you're absolutely right about accountability, but the other part is the transparency. So we lack what's happening with the public dollars that are going to private entities. We can't track that like we can in your traditional district schools or your charter schools, where we can see your attendance records, we can see your letter grades, we can see what type of, we can meet with your elected governing board members. When it comes over to private schools, they're like private industry businesses. And so if they want to let you see what you're asking for, you see it. And if they don't, they can say no. And vice versa, when it comes to the accountability piece, if you're a private industry, you do not have to accept certain students. And mm-hmm. we're seeing that also happen where district schools must take by law every student.
Yes.
Whereas if you go to a private school, they are not mandated to the same particular statute. So you have an equity issue in there as far as how are all students not allowed to go to all entities when you're giving public dollars to a private entity.
Are you the first stop for someone who wants to homeschool a child?
We are the first. Matter of fact, to homeschool your child, you would have to come to the Pima County School Superintendent's Office or whichever superintendent office is in your county, and you would have to sign a homeschool affidavit putting it on record in public that you are taking your son or your daughter and not enrolling them in district or charter schools and you are or private schools and you are enrolling them under your own homeschool.
Mm. Okay, Dustin Williams, any quick final thoughts about the school year?
Yeah, I think just to remind everyone out there that attendance is important. We want to make sure that students get to school on time. Make sure you have the meal plans already, whether they're eating at school. And I know how those devices are. I have two boys. Try to get those students to have a good night rest so they're nice and fresh. And then lastly, just talk to your schools. They're there to help. And if you need anything from us, we're at schools.pima.gov. That's schools.pima.gov. We'd love to hear an idea if you have it. And again, we're just really thankful for our educators and our education community here in Pima County.
All right, Dustin, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
Dustin Williams, Superintendent of Schools in Pima County, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Dustin Williams, Superintendent of Schools here in Pima County, being our Monday one-on-one guest. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about Green Things. Green Things in Zocalo Village. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio as part of the Bustos Media Campus. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It's been a kind of a very violent summer thunderstorm season. A lot of hail in different places. And that means the garden needs a refresh. And I can't think of a better place to get the color back in the garden, the plants, then Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. They're open daily. They're in their 53rd year of business. The sister business is Zocalo Village. Wonderful items, imported items, beautiful pottery from all over the world, especially the Talavera pottery from Mexico. When we do our live line interviews, of which we will be doing right now an interview, that's presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. District 2 Democrat Supervisor Matt Hines, one of five supervisors on the Pima County Board. Dr. Hines is also a hospitalist physician at Tucson Medical Center. Dr. Hines, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. Trying to stay well. I know four or five people just in the past week who have come down with COVID. A couple of them say that it was their first time. And wow. I know the article I was reading today in the LA Times, California's numbers, Dr. Hines, are just off the charts. California surging to levels with COVID not seen since the summertime of 2022, indicating a wide worsening spread of COVID. And I think we're having a big surge here in Arizona as well, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, we're neighbors, and, you know, that's how things work with people traveling around, all these, you know, that just makes sense that we're seeing some numbers going up, not seeing a ton being hospitalized, at least not directly by me or most of my colleagues, thankfully. I think just because people have gotten a lot of, you know, vaccines and immunizations, and that has certainly helped quite a bit. But that doesn't mean that people still can't get it. Obviously, the president just recently came down with one of the COVID variants himself, but is doing well after getting some Paxlovid. So the majority of folks will do fine just taking an oral medication and staying at home and isolating for a few days. But, you know, it is something we have to be cognizant of, and we need to stay in if we're having fevers or not feeling well or coughing. And these tests are free and readily available, so make sure it isn't COVID and make sure that we're safe.
Yeah, the folks over in L.A. were saying that if you have cough and cold symptoms at this point and you're living in Los Angeles anyway, you should really think that the symptoms are COVID-related until proven otherwise. So definitely take a test. The latest surge is fueled by something called the flirt variants, I guess a collection. And these are highly transmissible sibling strains. Sure. But what are some of the things we see typically with this round of COVID, Dr. Hines?
Pretty similar to what we're seeing, what we saw initially with, you know, when the pandemic kind of reared its ugly head. You have, you might have, say, 12, 24 hours of just kind of profound fatigue, possibly then a fever thereafter. You can get sore throat and congestion, cough, of course. The fever tends to be more pronounced then as it progresses. Very typical cold and flu symptoms, so it's a little bit hard to differentiate what exactly is going on. But as you say, just if people are experiencing these symptoms, there is a strong possibility that could be this new COVID variant, and we need to have folks take the appropriate steps and do not go into a busy workplace with a fever, actively coughing and feeling like this. It's just not safe. And I know it doesn't, people just need to keep hearing that again and again, but it's really, really important. It is. I know. I get it. I've encountered other physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists that are working while sick, and I've asked them to please go home, take care of yourself, and let's not make our charges the people we're trying to improve their health, right, or keep them from worsening health. And let's not give them COVID on top of their heart attack or whatever. So.
Yeah, good advice. All right, let's talk about a health-related item that you and the board are definitely looking at, and that is a heat-related ordinance in Pima County. Yeah. There is now a period for the public to weigh in on this. Tell us, Dr. Matt Hines, what's at stake here?
Look, this is a really big deal, and it's something that I've been thinking of or has come to my attention all the way back 20 plus years ago when I moved to the area and was a medical resident at then UMC, and seeing all sorts of folks coming in, especially this time of year, who were super dehydrated, kidney failure, heat exhaustion. It can cause a breakdown of muscles to the point that really destroys the kidneys, our blood filtering organs there, and it can be fatal. It can absolutely kill you. And this is something that sadly a lot of our law enforcement have found, Border Patrol and others, in the desert sometimes, and it's just tragic. So this is a big deal, and we can do a lot better. That is in the county, on the county level, for employees, making sure that folks are getting proper breaks, time away from the heat, that we are taking all the various steps that we need to be taking to have folks work earlier and not be exposed as much. And all of these things need to be, we need to think of, I mean, this is, a lot of this is the county, of course, but we need to truly, we need to look at this for everyone, all three, everyone, every business, everywhere, because this is something that uniquely affects us here. Now, as our planet is heating and we're seeing every year record temperatures somewhere or everywhere, this is going to become more and more of an issue in other jurisdictions as well. But for sure, here in Pima County, we can do more, and I'm really pleased that this ordinance is coming forward, and I, of course, supported it.
And Phoenix has had really a record number of heat-related deaths up there. And one thing that sure. they are finding up there, Dr. Hines, is that for the homeless population, especially the homeless who are also partaking of meth and fentanyl, when you combine either of those drugs and you're out on the street where it's 115 to 120, it will accentuate and make it go, you will die, and you will die very quickly, because those two don't go together, the drugs and the heat.
For sure. Any, and I would say not just, just the street living homeless part puts you at very, very high risk from exposure, for exposure in these temperatures and this time of year. And when you add to that anything else that is compromising or affecting your health, chronic illness, for example, drinking, and various other substances, abuse that you listed, all of this can synergistically have, worsen these effects and cause people to die. And that is, it doesn't have to be street living homeless. So that applies to all sorts of folks. As we age, we naturally become just less hydrated. Our body water percentage decreases. It is easier for us, especially in older populations, it is easier to become dehydrated during these times of the year when the temperature is as it is right now. Even when the monsoons are here, there's a bit more humidity, but do not let that fool you. It is still very easy to become dehydrated, and it becomes much more easy to become dehydrated in our 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. So it is a very serious issue that we need to address.
Will the heat-related ordinance, is it at a particular temperature, or how does that work? What does the ordinance, in effect, generally say?
That's I I don't recall a specific temperature. Mm-hmm. I know that there that it is going to be like seasonal, and it's going mm-hmm. to be, of course, at the direction of our health department in terms of helping to make people aware of things and when they need to be doing taking various steps at what levels and at what stages. But yeah, I'm trying to remember as I'm reading through it in my head. I don't recall if there's a specific temperature trigger, but I think we'll be relying on our health department, Dr. Cullen and others, to make sure that the proper notifications and triggers are there based on the ambient conditions.
I think if nothing else, it's a great tool for awareness, Dr. Hines.
For sure. Absolutely right.
I don't know if this has gotten a lot of play, but the main Pima County Library is slated to close. And before that can happen, the Pima County Board of Supervisors would have to sign off. I don't know if you've got any take on the main library closing.
Yeah, I did. I actually was just reviewing that recently with my staff, and I think a lot of that has to do with just the accumulation of some deferred maintenance. I mean, there's, I think it was over $50 million worth of things that had to be done to maintain that particular space. It is a larger space, and I think that the needs of the community can absolutely be met, using other spaces. So it's not we're not ending, county library system is still strong, but it didn't make sense for this particular building given the large number of accumulated amounts of deferred maintenance and other things like that to continue at this particular location, is my understanding.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District. We will continue our discussion with Dr. Hines as we continue on the Buckmaster Show on this final Monday of July as we transition already here into August this week. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studios. We send so many of our listeners this time of year over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive, and it's a great way to cool off and enjoy the Gila National Wilderness, which is looking pretty darn good, I'm told. After all the rains, the Gila's very green. So it's a great opportunity to go over and do some hiking over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Or we like to say it's usually at least 10 degrees cooler over there, sometimes as much as 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's see, we're going to probably, it's about upper 80s over there today, so it's going to be cooler because of the elevation. It's about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. You can start your planning, and I hope you do, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org and then take the road trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We continue now with our Live Line conversation, the Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, with District 2 Democrat Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, are things, have they improved a little bit with the public call to the audience? There's been a few tweaks. How's that going?
Yeah, you know, in terms of the amount of time that the call takes, there is now a 60-minute cap instead of no cap at all. I personally think it should be 30 minutes because that is consistent with all of the other jurisdictions. That's what the city of Tucson does for their calls to the public, for example. But yeah, you know, I mean, several meetings ago, there was a very angry, upset gentleman who said we should all be subjected to a firing squad.
What?
So, so that didn't make the board members particularly feel particularly secure and safe there. So I'm the extremist here, but I don't think there should be any in-person call to the public. I think I differ with the board chair on that, but we did an entire year of it perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Sitting in my kitchen living room on 2021, all of 2021, there wasn't a physical meeting of the board. We still had 15, 19, 23 people come just logging in and doing it remotely. It's given some of the things that people are saying, and most of it has nothing to do with what the board even has any sort of control over. It's anger over the border. It's anger over all sorts of stuff. It's like federal, and that's great. But, you know, and we of course can't respond. I was stuck outside the boardroom a couple weeks ago, I think it was, with a lot of the folks that come to the call and then they all leave. It's like their social hour, right? they don't seem to really care what the board members say in response or what we are going to try to do to address the things they bring forward. And the very few people that do show up are terrified of these folks, which I understand, you know, and so I just don't think it works very well. I do think we should shorten the time, but mostly I think we should not allow, unless you have a hearing for, a rezoning or something, there shouldn't be anyone else physically in that room other than our staff. Just hearing the kind of things that they say, the threats or indirect threats made to the board, to our staff, the really terrible, hateful, disgusting things that they say and direct sometimes to our staff. I think it's incumbent upon us to take the proper actions to protect ourselves and the staff especially. We are elected, and I understand that we are there to hear the grievances and concerns of the people, and that's fine. But not Jan Lesher, not Sam Brown, not Dr. Garcia, okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody should be disrespected the way these people talk, but certainly not our staff. They should not be verbally abused like they have been, and I think we need to take some steps to make some changes. They're going to take this recording, by the way, Bill, and they're going to play it back during the call to the audience next Tuesday. Just wait.
I know. So you're saying right now you're just not all in on any call to the audience?
No, not in person. In person, I'm perfectly fine with 30 minutes of a call to the audience. I prefer that it be telephonic. We do that. Some folks prefer to call in telephonically for whatever reason, and it works just fine. And again, we did it for all of 2021.
Okay.
Frankly, I think we'd accommodate more people.
Okay, now I understand what you're saying. So rather than in the chambers, in the supervisorial chambers, you're saying the public can weigh in over the telephone.
Absolutely, like they did for an entire year of COVID. Totally fine.
Okay, by the way, that period, the to hear from folks on the heat-related ordinance, that is open until August 6th. And basically, all the ordinance says is that each employer needs to have some kind of a heat-related plan. So there you are.
Right.
Quick comment on horse racing at Rialto. Do you understand what that is all about?
I'm not sure that I completely understand why the county is involved. To be honest with you, Bill, it's one of the ones that is a bit of a head scratcher for me, and I've been trying to get my head around that ever since being seated. But yeah, that's going to be back before us, I believe, very soon, yes.
But do you understand why it's been put on hold?
In terms of what exactly? I'm not following here.
Pima County is pausing the horse racing that has been really hosted there for decades. Do you understand this pause, why it's preventing racing?
I think the administration, the staff are looking into whether or not it should continue, frankly, and making sure that it's the right thing to do for the county and for the residents, for the community we serve.
All right. Finally, what about RTA? The time is quickly ticking away on RTA next.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure why Farhad still has a job. So, I hope that they're able to work through and get something to the ballot that makes sense. But if they aren't putting maintenance of some kind of substantial, some significant amount of maintenance in there, I'm certainly not going to be voting for this. And I will encourage those who support me to consider not voting for it as well. I hope we can get to a place where we can continue this. That makes the most sense to do the regional approach, but it's being kind of undermined by the CEO of PAG, right? The executive director of PAG and it's just bizarre to me how a staff person can absorb so many resources and create this fiefdom and scare away most of the staff over the past however many 10 years he's been there and still be there. Like
okay.
When that happens in every, he should be gone. And I hope that we look at that.
All right. Dr. Matt Hines, thank you very much. Dr. Hines, I hope you have a great afternoon.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing District number 2 on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. All right, we're going to leave it right there. Back in about 23 hours. See what happens over the next 23 hours. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.